Hey everybody, we are here for a special episode of Brains, Bibles, and Beyond. So we have an election coming up here in a few short weeks. I think we're under the 40-day line now. So we just want to do a special episode on should Christians be involved in politics? And it's kind of a hot button topic for some. For some others, it's not. And we just want to lay out some biblical principles on kind of what's the Bible say? Should I be involved? Should I not be involved? To what level should I be involved? That sort of thing. So anyway, we're glad you have joined us. And so will you please grab your theological receptacle and let's get started. Not quite the same effect out of the
All right.
bottle.
It's yeah, it's not the same. I tried to slurp it a little bit.
Joel, what do you have for us?
The first principle I think that we should have locked down is just really, God's role in the whole thing. Before we consider our role in the whole thing, what is God's role? And the first passage I go to, there's more than one, but the first one I go to is always Daniel 2. And so I thought that'd be great to look at that. So I'm looking at and just to give a little context there, this is when King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and no one's able to say what the dream is, let alone the interpretation, because they don't know what it is. And Daniel kind of just goes out there and says, "Hey, we've got it covered." And then he prays, "Please, Lord, show it to me." This is amazing faith that Daniel has, which is interesting. He just wanted to save everyone's life, and then he's
What was it more like? Yeah, don't kill us all. Let's give me a shot first.
Yeah, well, I
Along
mean,
those
they're
lines.
gonna die anyways. That as humanly speaking, they're gonna. He doesn't know. He like Daniel wasn't written yet. He didn't know what's gonna happen. And so then, verse 16, Daniel 2:16 says, "And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king." And then he's after that, it's like, "Oh wow, we've have to pray really hard that God will actually show us these things." Then he does, and so that's when Daniel, he has this all this praise and things. So in verse 20, he says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." And he goes on, but the big little nugget that I wanted to emphasize here is that part in verse 21, he removes and sets up kings, so he gives them total credit for this. So we can see human activity happening. I did this, he did that, right or wrong, whatever. But he's the one that sets it all up, and so kind of the grand conductor of the orchestra, so to speak. And so we have our involvement, and God uses us. And so that's a really cool thing.
But ultimately,
Even those
God
who are
is the
against
one
God.
in control and in charge.
Yeah.
Okay. God's
I, you know,
involved in
it,
politics.
I, you know, in a huge way, I think of even not just Babylon here, but God has raised up and used nations like Egypt and Assyria as well, among others, Rome, and Greece, and all these other things. You see Persia, throughout the history of the Bible, he has made them powerful and had them accomplish a purpose. Now, of course, when they do things sinfully, they are judged for the sin, but God does bring them up to accomplish certain things. So that's kind of what's going on here as well. So we know that even when something our guy doesn't win, so to speak, and the other team, whatever it is, they
Whatever
win.
team that
Well,
may be.
yeah, that's, God's sovereignly doing these things. He's, who would have thought something like Assyria comes to power and everyone's going, yes, they're so kind and loving. And wait, no, that's not the case at all. But it was
So
God's will.
if that's the case, then why would we even be involved at all? Like if it doesn't even matter, because God's already, he's already going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to bring up and set down and put in place and take away and all those things. So
Right.
why am I wasting my time being involved in any way? Doesn't even
Yeah,
matter.
I it's a really good question. What I would go to, and I did not put this in place ahead of time. I don't know why I did not get this one up ahead of time. But so I'm gonna paraphrase, and people can fact check me later. Because I know it's there. I know it's around there. So when Judah goes into exile to Babylon. So now we're going back in time a little bit from when Daniel was there talking to the king Nebuchadnezzar. So before that happens, and this is in the book of Jeremiah, and it says, "Hey, you're going to be over there. It's 70 years of exile." He says, "Go ahead and plant vineyards, buy homes, have marriages, and support the nation." That's my will be paraphrased, but that's what's going on. Support the nation, and you can even see Daniel fulfilling that. As he actually helps King Nebuchadnezzar, he is
Substantially
politically
helps him.
involved. He, yes, and even treats Nebuchadnezzar different than King Belshazzar. You see that over Daniel chapter 5, because Belshazzar was just a drunken fool. He wasn't good for the nation. Nebuchadnezzar, especially at that time, he still wasn't saved. He was still pagan, but he was a good political leader. He was good for the nation. And that's why Daniel supported him and was more respectful to him.
It was more
It's a
than
pretty
just
cool
a,
idea.
it was more than this was his job, but he could definitely see he also supported him as well. So
Yes. You look at political involvement, even Joseph in Egypt, that's a really interesting thing. He was put into political situations, he got politically involved. And he was highly invested in the success of Egypt. Why is Egypt as awesome as it is today, even? It goes all the way back to Joseph. I mean,
it
Egypt
really
was
does.
substantial before that, but not incredibly. And it was Joseph that really put them on top of the world for a time. A really interesting piece of history there. And it even had different systems of government. Sometimes we get so hung up on certain things. Joseph was like, basically a communist, Joseph was
I was
like,
going to say that, but I didn't want to go
yeah, he was. It's
there.
just interesting to see what God can use to accomplish his purposes. Because he's like, hey, you want to eat? Well, at the
Give me
bottom, at the end of the
everything
day,
you
it was like, you can
own.
sell yourself,
Yeah,
no one owned their own land or nothing, not even themselves. They're all slaves, essentially. And God blessed.
he did, and he used that to save the rest of his family. So, as all part of God's plan.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily a sin then to be involved
Of
in
course, the whole
politics.
point of Joseph,
Yeah. So it's not just with Joseph and
even in a
Daniel.
corrupt government.
Yeah. So it wasn't a sin to be involved in politics, but should we actively pursue that? Or, well, in our case, should we even vote? Like why if God's already determined what's going to happen, why should I get involved? Like seek it out. Like these guys didn't seek it out. Daniel was
Right.
taken captive and Joseph was sold into slavery. He's like, well, I'm here, I might as well do something, right? So their situation is a little different.
Yep.
Obviously we had, the passage you paraphrased earlier with seek out the good of the Babylon, basically, what are you guys gonna be in exile for? And so maybe you got something there, but where do you go from that? As a Christian, should I be involved in politics? As a Christian, should I promote candidates? Should I even vote? What should I do? What is the right thing to do?
Right. I think it's a very good biblical principle. 'Cause I think I could get other examples too politically. Maybe just real quick, I'll say, Daniel even when he could return home, decided to stay in Babylon, in that area. Actually, it was, the Medo-Persian government was in charge then, but still he stayed to help out. That's a really interesting thing, even when he didn't have to. But then you have like Matthew 5, general principle being salt and light. Okay. We say, yes, we must be salt, we must be light, which means that you want to go to darker places that light to shine the best. Too much salt in one area spoils the area. So the idea of salt and light is to spread out. And just to be a little seasoning, that kind of a thing. Well, if we totally avoided the political realm, I don't think we're fulfilling that command. I think we are to, as a whole, the body of Christ as a whole, to be involved in every area of life. Obviously, there are sinful institutions. It's like, okay, we got to be salt and light in the mafia, okay, we don't want to be like involved in gangs or something. But, as far as all of life goes,
Hey, they
we
need
need to be
Jesus
out there.
too.
Yeah, but maybe there's better ways to do it than join the mafia,
Possibly. It's, I mean,
Yeah,
it's not basically
possibly. That's another.
the, it's not just basically the government of Illinois, though. I mean, that's the mafia, right?
Wow. Okay.
Wait,
Well, let's move on
I
from
should
that.
say that.
What's that? That was just joking, guys.
Isn't it like their last four like governors like in prison or something over there though for that? Like, I don't remember. We might have to
I'm gonna
fact check
say that
that
I've got a great passage to share.
one.
Oh boy, I'm gonna sidestep that conversation, and we'll go to so no matter what, wherever we're at with everything of involvement, there is one way that 100% of Christians should be involved in politics, and no matter what, the most minimal level here is prayer. And so, and very specifically in 1 Timothy 2, Paul is pouring out his heart here. He says, first of all, then, like primary, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And so he even emphasizes, remember first century persecution and stuff. This is the Roman Empire that is actively murdering Christians. Okay. He then verse two, he says, all people, you can kind of feel good about that. But then he says, verse two, for kings and all who are in high positions, what is the purpose of doing that? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So there's more to share. I want to share still the next couple of verses, but just stopping right there, we see that, in other words, if you're not involved in prayer like that, then you're not going to have that peaceful life. You're not going to have that quiet life. You're not going to be living in a godly way or even in a dignified way. Everything goes opposite there. That's an interesting idea. But then he takes a step further with verse three. He says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there we actually have a very specific way to pray for them. It's not simply that, oh, just bless them. It is that they would know the Lord as their Savior, that they would be saved, and that they would, know the truth. Because what's the real change in the world? It's making disciples. That's how you have real change. People are born again and they grow in their sanctification. That's the real answer. That's the real answer. So that's what we should be praying for. And I'll just add this one more thing and I'll let you talk. But the idea of people complaining about political leadership and what's going on at different levels of political leadership in our country. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, how's your prayer life with that? What are we doing about it? I mean, are we just griping? Is it just voting? The very minimum needs to be prayer first. If you're going to do anything in the political realm, it's prayer. And then we can see about more activity, but it needs to start with prayer.
And if you're going to be complaining, you better be praying first, right? Like, I think that's perfect. And who do you not know that complains about politics in some way, in some form? Whether it's too many ads on TV this time of year, or my taxes are too high, or or my taxes are too low, or whatever, you know, like pick, you know, pick your complaint. You hear them, right?
Yeah,
But for
I
your
don't know how
question,
much I've heard about. I don't know how much I've heard about taxes being too low
we hear
as a
about
complaint,
you've got
but
other people's taxes being too low, and so
oh, I see. Right. That's
anyway, I mean, but there are complaints, like, and if you're not complaining about an issue, you complain that there's too many ads, or you're complaining, you know, there's the system and all this and that, and
always something.
I think that's a perfect question to start off with. Well, what are you doing about it personally? Well, the first thing you should do is you should be involved in prayer, like being praying for that God would put the right leader in place. Right, he's in control. But praying for the salvation of the leaders you already have. You know, and in America, it's a unique thing because we're a constitutional republic, right? We get to vote and elect our leaders. And you may think, you know, cynically that, well, you know, my single vote doesn't do anything, especially on a national scale. And, you know, maybe your single vote doesn't. You know, you can do some math on that, but a lot of single votes do. But locally, it does make a huge difference, especially on small local elections and things like that. So, you know, there are ways to be involved. But like you said, the first way is simple, a command to all Christians: be praying. Are you praying? You know, let's start there. So what other principles then? Okay, so obviously we should all be praying. It's not a sin for believers to be involved in government. What other things should we looking at just principles? Is it right for me to get involved? Should I seek that out? I know you talk about being salt and light. Can you expound on that maybe a little bit more?
Well, I think that as far as how should we get involved in, and I think it's, I don't want to do a big deal with Romans 13. I'm not going to go through that whole thing about submissiveness to governments. That I think that's a it's a big conversation. But
Huge
just I want to point
conversation.
out from that, you know, it says you pay taxes, you know, even paying taxes and pay to all what is owed to them. It goes on with that. And I even think about when people tried to, you know, Pharisees, scribes, whoever it was exactly, try to trick Jesus with, you know, hey, you know, you're gonna pay your taxes to Caesar, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, hey, who's the image on the coin? Caesar, okay, then give it to Caesar. So then what, you know, who has the image of God, right? It's us, and so give that to God, which is, you know, a fundamental issue there. But the idea was that even Jesus, the King of Israel, with Rome occupying Israel, still said, pay your taxes. You know, that's an interesting thing. With that, you're recognizing that there is this authority, there is a submissiveness to it, to even the process of it. I think that we should, it's, you know, there's different rules in different countries, right? So we're trying to focus on America here. We are allowed to be involved. We are allowed to influence the leadership that is above us. What a privilege that is. And so I think that it would be foolish for us to totally disregard that privilege. So just a principle of wisdom here, of just, you know, wisdom being skill of life, you know, kind of a deal. There's so much more to say, but I think just the principle of I am allowed to influence my leadership, so I should to some level. You mentioned local leadership. You could argue, someone could argue that that's actually more important than the federal leadership, because the federal leadership, you know, it doesn't really matter who's taking the presidency, certain things don't really change. There's a lot of issues that don't really change. It's the local leaders that actually make the bigger changes for how you're going to live or what's going on around you. And of course, those littler guys, so to speak, are the ones that talk to the bigger guys. And then those guys talk to the bigger guys. And you know, it kind of goes up. So if you can start at that lower level, you know, grassroots, you hear that kind of phrasing, and you kind of move it up from there. That's actually very influential as well. But I want to be careful that we're not putting our hope in politics, you know, of course. That would not be good, not to put our hope in politics. It's just a skillful way to live life. It's a way to influence things so that there is more righteousness and less wickedness in the world.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you hit a point there, with us having the ability to be involved, that is good. Like you're, we're given that freedom. We're given that right, and we're given that freedom, and therefore, is it wrong not to exercise it? You know, if God has given you a gift, you know, are you gonna, think of the parable of the talents. You know, one guy buried his in the ground, didn't use it. The other guy, I mean, that's not the point of that parable. But at the same time, you know, if God gives you something, allows you to have something, and you squander it or waste it or don't use it, is that wrong? Like we have the ability to go vote, takes up an hour once a year, you know. And we get to help elect our leaders and decide on things that matter to us. Is it wrong not to do that? At bare minimum, at least go vote.
So I think the some pushback that I anticipate would be something like someone says, okay, you just explained, you know, God's gonna do what he wants to do anyways. I'm gonna put my energies elsewhere. But look through scripture, and a lot of times we see there is God's sovereign will, God's sovereign actions, and you have humans' free choice and our actions. And they're not separate things, is kind of how that view is taking it with politics. They are together. So God has his sovereign will. He's using human actions. Now, he might use human error as it happens. You know, he used Pharaoh. Pharaoh was against God, but he used him to accomplish his purposes. So the point is, I'm not just going to go, oh, forget the whole thing. Well, I want to be used by God in a way that honors him. He's gonna use me. I hope it's in righteousness and not in my error, you know, so to speak, because God's so great, he can use anything. And it's our choices to fail, but he can use anything. So as the part of the side of history I want to be on. And I want to do, like, if I'm gonna vote for somebody, I want to be proud of it. You know, I want to come back later and go, well, they didn't get it, but that's who I voted for. You know, and then you think to yourself, okay, here's the next issue. What if this person is not 100% with scripture? You know, that's a big one. So I think there's basically two sides of the aisle that people fall on here. It's either, well, you know, in America, there's essentially two parties. Technically, there's more than that, but
Oh yeah, a lot more.
essentially, yeah,
Two parties
what
have a
it's
chance. For the
Yeah. Well, that's the
most
thing. So
part.
then someone says, I'm going to pick the lesser of evils, and I'm going to pick the one, you know, out of the two parties, they're the ones that are going to make it. So that's my choices, and the best one out of those choices. Then there's other people that say, I am going to vote for the best candidate, even if it's possible they only get 10 votes, you know, for the whole election, because I'm not going to vote for someone that's, you know, evil. Kind of a thing. And then, of course, I'd come back. Well, first off, I can monologue forever. You know that. It's one of my problems. So what are your thoughts on those ideas?
I mean, those are things we wrestle with, every 4 years or every 2 years or every year, depending on how often our elections are. I mean, you do wrestle with those things. And the thing is, though, they're all still people. None of us are perfect, right? They're all falling short. It's just, how much falling short are you willing to live with, And and what's more pleasing to God, a vote for a principle that really isn't going to count, or a vote, for somebody who's the less of two evils, And those are the things you wrestle with as, as a Christian who votes. Those are some of the problems, and it's hard to emphatically say a right or wrong for either. There's some good arguments both ways, so
Yes, I've heard it said before. They say, well, if you're voting for the lesser of two evils, you're voting for evil. And it's like, well, okay, I see what you're saying. You know,
I see
so
what you're
I
saying.
think that, each person needs to be persuaded on their own. And you know, I don't want to be too willy-nilly with that because we're all at different levels of sanctification, and it could be someone, you know, that is they're saying, well, this is what I feel is best, but it's maybe how they're going about it. It's obviously not a good thing that they're doing. So we need to come alongside each other. But I think it's why we have the body of Christ. And so we talk to each other, we challenge and encourage each other. I think there's a respectful, loving way to do that. And have these kind of conversations about, you know, what do we do? Like, as the body of Christ, we should be concerned about doing things the way that pleases God. And so, you know, I think some people, they tend to clam up with like the political issues because it creates more heat than light a lot of times. Arguments, you might lose friends, cuts between families. It shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. I think we need to get better at talking about it. I hopefully this episode can try to come to a decision of what is the most God-honoring thing I can possibly do with my opportunity to vote at all any level.
All right, so besides the voting though, should we then also get involved? Like, should I even pursue politics? Maybe, is that what God calls certain Christians to do and get involved? Should I go run for governor? Should I go run for my school board? Should I mayor, town council, or whatever, president? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome?
Right.
What's right there?
Yeah, I think I for me it's kind of like a well, of course, you know, that kind of a thing. But I think the big issue is in politics, the higher you go, there tends to be compromise. And the longer you're in it or the higher up you go, the more compromise there is. And it's kind of like, well, if I just let this go, I could have more influence and make a greater change, you know, that kind of a thing. I think that's the biggest concern I can think of is, yes, go for it, but be true to representing Christ all the time. You know, don't make compromises. You can be diplomatic, you can be, you know, friendly, have some tact, use wisdom with how to have conversations and stuff, but don't compromise.
Daniel would be an example of that. He was diplomatic, right?
Correct.
Long live King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Like, when you're,
Yes.
there's certain things you say that are appropriate to say to certain people. But
Right?
he never
Absolutely.
changed his stance with God. And I think that would be the perfect example there.
I think Daniel's one of the greatest examples scripture gives us. And one of the things I like to mention is the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fiery furnace, that whole thing. Anybody that did not bow down when the music played, you know, to worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, were to be thrown in the fiery furnace. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, well, where's Daniel? You know, so there's different ideas on where Daniel was, but I think all Christians agree that he would not have bowed down. I think Daniel had enough political influence that was out of town. Or something. He found some way to be out of that situation. And so that he did not compromise. He wasn't even tempted to compromise. He was out of it, and he was able to honor God that way. And so you have two different avenues that I think are both to be honored. You know, people are thinking too humanly. They're not, you know, having the God element in it. And you know, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, it wasn't like they knew they're gonna be delivered. They you know, very purposely said, well, he may let us die, but we know God has the power to save us. You know, this is tremendous, tremendous testimony.
And we're going to do what's right no matter what. So
Regardless, yeah, I love it. It's so good.
that'd be
And
great if
so
our
for us,
politicians did that these days. I'm going to do what's right no matter what, even if it costs
yes.
life or
And you
political
know,
life or whatever you want to call it.
when I vote for someone, I'm not voting for the next deacon in my church. So I don't have the same standards. It's not like okay, we're looking for a pastor and these are our qualifications that we, you know, they have to meet. You look through scripture and it's kind of like, well, there's nothing specific actually. It's there are general principles that would make us better leaders, you know, and things like that. And of course, righteousness wins and But I don't, I'm not looking for perfection.
I guess
Maybe some people are, but
with that being said, what is the purpose of the government? When God established government, why did God establish government?
well, I think there is some answers there in Romans 13. And so he does set them up. Yeah, God takes credit for that. I'll just read some of the verses here, so I'm not just chopping it up. I'll start in verse 2. It says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." So he has appointed them. He does give them teeth, so to speak, for the justice system, their justice system. So it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good." And it says, "But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain." And it goes on. So I think a big idea is having a formalized justice system. God's intention with government is that it would maintain justice of the people, and it would be promoting good. Now I think what people do, the first thing to do is they point a finger and they say, "Hey, they're not being good." And so I don't have that standard. And when they come short, then there's judgment for them. I trust in God's ultimate justice, so I can take a break and I don't have to be, I'm not the judge over them. That's not my job. God is the judge over them. And so if they're going to hurt me, they're going to do things like that. Well, God rights all wrongs. So I just need to do my part. But I do, to answer the question directly, I think that's all it is. Mainly government, the whole job of it is to have a formalized justice system for people.
I think we kind of got some good principles here. I mean, that's really what we want to lay out here is just, what's the Bible say? What's some good principles that we can kind of go off of going forward, knowing what we should do. We're in the political season, election season here. Should I be involved? What level should I be involved? So if I'm hearing correctly, yes, we should be involved. Number one should be prayer. Start with that. Pray for our leaders, pray for our government, pray for everyone, right? Like be in prayer. And then from there, exercise the freedoms and the rights that we've been given here in this country where we can actually be involved at certain levels. And if God has called you into pursuing a political career, make sure you're staying faithful to him and not compromising. Is that basically the gist of the conversation here?
I think it's good. And if I give a simple command, pray for their salvation, pray for them to know the truth, and you be salt and light to whatever degree God has given you capacity for, you be salt and light.
That sounds good. All right, guys. Well, I think we're gonna just wrap it up here. So it was as always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and make this go viral. We'll see you
That's
next month.
right. See ya.